Hello, lovely listeners. In this episode, we discuss some new self-care, the fallout of the previous week's pet problems, and more weaning stories. But also, a new section, Gottman Cards. This requires us to discuss key parts of our relationship and talk about how we could improve it. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to Blabbering, a week-by-week glimpse into a couple stumbling through life with a newborn.
I'm Tilly.
And I'm Dan.
Each week over dinner,
you'll learn Tilly is quite the feeder.
We'll discuss the realities of raising our baby, talking through the highs, lows, and honest confessions of this thing called parenting.
Parenting won't be easy, but let's at least laugh about it.
This is Blabbering.
Okay, episode 27 today.
A 27? My gosh.
We're at 27.
Wow. Can you please get back on the booth?
So, my wife's got a gold face.
I have, like, blingy jaundice, as I said a minute ago. We've got a hair mask in as well.
You are doing self-care Saturday, aren't you?
I thought, you know what? It's time. I've even cut my fingernails.
Whereas I've got massive bags.
Yeah, I've hacked my way through my armpit hair.
Well done.
Most of my arms. Not arms, just armpits. So, yeah. I mean, I've not managed to tackle the foof or the legs yet.
Whereas I definitely need a haircut and a shave.
But like a very beastie.
Yeah. I need to sort my green out.
I still need to do my moustache. But this is a peel-off mask, so you never know. I'm hoping it might get some of my moustache out with it.
Take it for you.
Yeah, hopefully.
That'd be nice, eh?
So it's starting to get a little stiffy. Bubs is just distracted by the massive bright light.
How much shine do you get off the face with the light on?
I'm looking pretty shiny. I'm looking very metallic. Stop doing this. You like doing this at the moment? No.
No.
So the new thing is to like clamp the side of her mouth and then pull. But obviously as she pulls, it gets smaller and smaller, but nipple she's got in her mouth makes it more and more sore. And she's like, we're pulling it. And it's like a really firm, like clamp down. And my nipple's proper bruised now. It's like your knee face thing to do. And I'm not a fan.
Like spinning and tugging, does it too?
She does. She gets distracted pretty easy now. We've got hair on your face. Bubs had a nice little bath while I was having a shower.
Yeah.
Kept it super toasty because she's like a mama. She likes to be a lobster in the bath. But let's dive into our week. It's been a bit of a mess.
Shit week.
Okay, yeah, sure.
It's been a pretty shit week.
Yeah.
So, well, Sunday, well, it's been, so we said that there were pet issues in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that then divulged to be a bit of an understatement. Still not heard anything regarding the cat. So
no, Greg is still missed him, sadly.
Don't know where that's at. Your mum's dog.
It's starting to get better now. It's not, they don't think it's cancer. They think it's probably a really like bad antibiotic resistant infection. So he's been in a specialist for a few nights and he's just started to eat a little bit again, which is the first time in about 2 weeks he's started eating. So that's a good sign. He's still very poorly, but you know, it's going in the right direction now.
But he's been here, there and everywhere for the last week, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been like, yeah. Yeah, so we had my mum's other dog over and she came over on Thursday and we had Nancy over.
Yeah.
Nancy was being very needy and whiny because she was missing Sid. But her and Fatty got on really well.
Yeah, they did.
I was really happy with that. That was a positive for a week.
Yeah.
For sure.
Whereas my mum's dog, or my family dog, from when I was like, got when I was about 15, he unfortunately just deteriorated. He's about 14, 15 now. And so on Sunday he went in to the, or Saturday evening he went into the the dog ICU. They kept doing tests and different things like that. My mum was really trying to have him pulled through and I was just kind of like, he's a very old dog. I don't think he's going to...
I mean, yeah, 15 for a lab is like insanely old.
Yep. And he eventually just, you know, unfortunately had a few seizures, had a few other complications and things like that, and just didn't really recover. So after a few kind of days of him laying there, not really getting any better, the view was that unfortunately he should be put to sleep. So that then happened Wednesday afternoon. So it's been a bit of a week of kind of, you know, going in, me and baby girl have been off to the dog ICU. We were there, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, we all went in on Monday, didn't we?
Yeah. Did we go on Sunday?
No. We all went on Monday.
We went there on Monday. We went to see my mum on Sunday.
Yeah.
We went to dog ICU on Monday, then also on Tuesday, and then also on Wednesday. As all on Monday, then just me and baby girl on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Your mum stayed with us Monday night?
Yeah, so mum stayed with us on Monday night. Then my brother flew down from Edinburgh to say goodbye. He was just slamming the desk and looking at me on Tuesday and Wednesday night. And then flew back on Thursday morning.
Yeah, so we've got quite a packed house, actually, haven't we?
Yeah, and so it's really interrupted kind of routine, and it's made it quite hard for... And I think baby girl's either in a development loop or something. You're not sleeping normally, are we? You're not sleeping
normally. No, she's been super needy, isn't she?
Yeah.
But she's just not sleeping off us.
No, so last night was my night with baby girl, whereby Tilly goes and sleeps in the spare room to try and recuperate from all the nights of the week being pestered. And yeah, you would just fall asleep. I'd try and roll her off. And then literally 20, 40 minutes later, she'd wake up screaming. She'd only fall asleep if she was back on me, like on my chest, or not even like next to me. Usually you can get away with kind of spooning her.
Yeah. Like she wants to be like proper in like, on, doesn't she?
Yeah, you put her kind of in your arm, with your arm out front. And so her head's sort of resting on your shoulder. And that way you can kind of sleep without having to have this thing kind of wriggling on your chest the whole time. Unfortunately, this thing that's slamming the desk and screaming, yeah, you.
Also, we realised that she sounds like she's like dying of like a wheezy chest. She just got like a lazy larynx, and so it just sounds like she can't breathe. Nice. She's fine.
And so she then just kind of kicks off every so often, and then you have to kind of roll her back onto your chest, and have to try and find a way of sleeping pretty much with her on you the whole time.
I was going to say, do you want to maybe have a night with her up here tonight? Because you've got a massive day tomorrow.
So tomorrow, my mum's decided that she wants, pardon me, she wants Kirby buried in her garden. So tomorrow I'm digging the poor dog's grave. So that's meant to take a good few hours of hard work. So yes, please.
Okay, so I'll have her tonight. You can stay up here. And oh, it's getting rough.
Yeah, I can see it. So I've got the metallic look on my face. It's probably just bags. Whereas the
I should be jaundiced with you. Who knows? Yeah, so today we're having a chill family day, aren't we?
Yeah, well, for you, you start with self-care Saturday.
Yeah, I just
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's not, I just made it up. So it was alliteration, you like alliteration.
Okay. I assumed it was some Instagram bullshit.
It probably is. It probably is, but no, I just thought you like alliteration. So yeah, we're just going to chill together, aren't we? Inside, we're not going to go outside today.
No.
We're going to hermit and hibernate.
If it gets any nicer, I will take Fast for a walk. But
currently it's pretty grim. Just pretty easy to stay inside. Yeah. I'm going to make her some, well, probably you, some big old chunky cookies.
Yeah.
And we're just going to chill and watch crap, probably.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Sorry. But let's see, what else has happened this week? I mean, it's been pretty dominated, hasn't it, by the dogs, really?
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's doubly hard for your mum because Kobe was like her main companion, wasn't he?
Yeah, so Kobe, my lamb, we got him, like 15 years ago. And then 10 years ago, my dad died.
Almost 12?
Nearly 12 years. And then 5 years ago, Theo obviously left home, went to uni.
And before that, obviously you were gone.
So... You know, this, as in terms of her family unit, Kobe was kind of the last one. And so now she's very much got an empty house, so it's going to be very hard for her.
Yeah, we're a little bit worried, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
I'll persuade her to get a companion. Or just come see us.
Just like Frankie and Grace come with me.
Maybe my mum will just turn into an old age lesbian. Who knows?
I don't think this is going to work, love. Go to sleep, baby.
Let me try on the other boob.
Just go to sleep.
Try on the other boobie.
Given that you hardly slept last night, you mean all right?
You're definitely sleeping. You're rubbing your eyes loads in your bath. I'm trying to think what else has happened this week. I feel like not much, massively. She's been eating really well.
Yeah, she's done a lot of weaning and solid poo.
Yes, very exciting. First solid poo. We got very excited. Like classic new first-time parents. And we took pictures. Well, you took a picture of the poo.
Now, we say solid poo, but it's more like when you've cut the grass and then it's rained.
No, that was a poo.
And then you go walking around in it, and then when you come back in, you get like those wet grassy clumps because there's a lot of the fibrous matter of what she's been eating.
Well, yeah, she's
eating.
Not chewing really properly.
So because she's not chewing, you have big clumpy fibrous bits in it. So it's
what she bloody enjoyed was a mango.
Yeah.
She went to town on the mango, like just attacking it.
Yeah.
She had a great time.
So she's been winning a lot of things.
Yeah, she loved yogurt. She made a rat mess with some yogurt.
Yeah.
She had some pancakes and raspberries today. I made her some little oat and tofu pancakes.
What else have we had?
Lots of fruits. Yeah.
She loves the little what's-it things.
Yeah, she loves little rice cakes as well. So a few more of her bits of dried fruit.
Yeah, she loves dragon fruit, the bougie bitch.
We tried a bit of freeze-dried and that went down quite well.
That's what I mean, freeze-dried dragon fruit.
She did a bit of freeze-dried mango as well.
Oh, she fancy.
She is fancy. So yeah, the weaning has been going pretty well. I'm pretty happy with how it's going. You know, Kenny can play.
And got to get her on to meats next. What is it next? Is it meat, isn't it?
You know meat now, yeah. I've bought her some bits of cheese as well to try this week. She's got some cottage cheese. And she's also got some just little cheese sticks.
The vomit's already cottage cheese. I don't want to add real cottage cheese.
Well, I think it's quite a good starter cheese. Okay. She's having yogurt. I've not given her her kefir yet.
Dairy Lee Dunkers with her what's it?
Are we going to try some kefir maybe today?
Yeah, sure. I'm not.
Well, you all are. Family kefir
you're
time.
You'll be outside of the room and you can be like, look, mummy and daddy both like kefir, but daddy's just not here right now.
Have you even tried kefir before?
I think I have. I just don't
I don't think you have. I think you're being a little baby.
Just milk is good enough. Why fuck with it?
Fermented stuff is really good for you.
I like fermented other things. Don't ferment my milk.
But it's good for her to get to like different strong flavours.
What else? I think that's most of it, really, in terms of the week. I mean,
yeah, it's just been a bit of a messy week, isn't it? Because we've been sort of out of routine. You've been travelling around a lot with her, so she's been quite overtired often as well.
Yeah.
So I think we're all a bit tired at the end of this week. But positive note, we did get some exercise in.
Yes.
You know, got to take the wins.
Yes, we did. We did. So that's good. We got one session each now.
I got two.
Oh, check you out, fancy pants.
And I've got a yoga session as well, so kind of like three sessions, really. Do you know what I've discovered she really likes, though?
What?
She loves Andy Oliver. Every time Andy Oliver comes on TV, she's like, she smiles and like gets really excited.
Okay. You watch a lot of Andy Oliver, so that's probably quite good.
Well, I don't watch that much Andy Oliver. She's currently got a series on which I watch sometimes.
No, but you like Andy Oliver.
I do like Andy Oliver.
If there was more of her, you would definitely watch a lot of her. She's not got that many shows.
No, and she does
Paging
like,
BBC.
She does like British Menu and stuff, but I'm not really that bothered by that.
I think that's a piece of shit, but yeah.
You only think it's a piece of shit because the NHS one.
I just think it's such a daft idea to be like, let's feed the NHS. What do you do? Feed like 10 of them. But this is for all the NHS, we will feed 10 of you.
She's playing my breast pad now.
Oh, and she's vomited.
Lots, I can't see.
Get more in the cheek. The chin, sorry.
Not in here?
Yeah.
What I will post with this video is my patented technique of how to turn a sanitary towel into a breast pad.
Oh yeah, you've had to do that a few times. So
I have.
Far,
I'm really bad at sometimes when I'm going to work. It's my long. It's quite a long time away from Zoe, so my boobs tend to leak quite a bit. Sorry. Flashing
a shoulder, you cheeky minx.
I know, sexy. And you drop a breast pad. There we go. And so I have to sort of make sure so I don't end up leaking milk at work. It's not the most professional look with having just the wet boobs. And so I used to just put the whole sanitary towel down my bra, but because I've done this quite a few times now, I've now honed my technique, and I'll post a video along with this of how to turn a sanitary towel into a pretty bloody decent breast pad.
Oof,
yeah.
Lucky people. Lucky people.
I know.
So, do you have anything else you want to do? You want to go through highs, lows, funnies, or is there anything else regarding the week?
No, I don't have anything massively. Let's do highs, lows, funnies.
So I think my high was definitely weaning, all the weaning, especially the yogurt. We made a real mess. We've got some very funny photos of you covered in yogurt. Got a yogurt beard, got a yogurt goatee. Looked like an old man.
You did.
With a weird, creepy goatee, and you even got it in your eyebrows and everything.
Yeah, it was everywhere.
Because the other thing is, like, so we're not just letting her feed it with her hand. I mean, she does do that as well, but we're trying to give her the spoon. But she grabs the spoon with such enthusiasm and just tries to, she likes to be in control. She grabs it with such enthusiasm and tries to pull it towards her face.
Mm.
She just slams herself like in the cheek or in the eyebrow. You're lucky you haven't slammed yourself in the eye so far.
That's why I think we need to get the little short spoons, because I think those spoons are made for us to feed her.
Well, I am trying to give her like the hand that's close to the actual spoon. I know, but
once she's got it herself, she's...
Well, that's the thing. She like tugs before you've released. And so she just slams herself in the face. So you covered yourself in yogurt because of that, which was good fun. That was my high. Then my low was probably definitely poor old Kobe being put down. To top that off, you'd been good the whole time in all our doctor's visits. And then when the actual exact moment came when they were injecting the stuff, you decided you'd had enough. And so the time when I was most wanting you to be calm and quiet so that I could be present and say goodbye to my oldest dog, you were kicking off and I had to try and keep you calm while a room full of people were trying to stay present with the doggy. So that was probably my low, because I wanted to obviously just be there to say goodbye in that moment and instead crying baby. I just shoved a bottle in your face to try and shut you up, but you're already full. So crying away, poor Kobe, his last moments from just hearing you scream.
Well, it's the sound of life.
And then my bunny was, oh yeah, I was holding, we're part of sleeping, this new problem that we have with sleeping. So I'm there and we've put her down to go to sleep. It's Thursday night, put her down to go to sleep. And she's in a cot bed, she cries and cries. So I go and grab her, I bring her in and I'm trying to like, settle her or whatever. I've got her on me, I've got her off me, I've got trying to put her in all sorts of positions. She's just screaming and screaming and screaming. And then literally, as soon as you pick her up, she just goes silent and basically falls asleep. And I was like, all right then. So this is how it is then, is it? Mummy's magic touch. As long as mummy's got you, it's all quiet and sleepy time. If it's daddy, fuck no.
Yeah, which is both like good and bad for both of us. Do you know what I mean? Because like it's nice to know that I can just comfort her quite easily, but also it's been on the other side of it means I feel the one that has that comforts her.
Well, I managed to do it last night. But
yeah,
like you say, she has to be on you.
Yeah,
and you've because of breastfeeding, you've got used to kind of sleeping upright with a baby on you.
I mean, it's not comfortable. It never was comfortable.
But you've kind of got used to it. Whereas for me, I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm all right. So I'll let her fall asleep on me and then I roll into her being kind of in the nook.
And that's often what I do, to be honest, now.
You're tired, baby. Go to sleep.
Sorry, we're going to search for something.
So what about you? What's your Hasla's funnies?
I think the low has to be like just the whole Kobe situation and like with Sid and stuff. Like just generally like pets not being great this week, I think it's been tough. And then I've had a really, really busy work week as well. And so I've not been able to sort of like be with you as much as possible. Like I was able to take Monday off, which was really nice.
Yeah.
Because we thought that was when we were going to say goodbye to Kobe, but that ended up not being the case. But then it meant sort of the rest of the week, I really had to crack down on my work.
I kind of knew that wouldn't be the case because she wouldn't have done it without Theo there. So I probably should have told you.
That's fine. But it just meant the rest of the week I had to really like crack on with my work. So I was quite busy all week, but also really tired because, like you said, she's not been sleeping much. She's been really needy. I think that whole thing has been a bit like, a bit much, but, you know.
It's almost like you heard last week when I was like, we're having a war on sleep. And you're like, fuck you, first mover advantage. I'll attack before you do. I will strike. My neediness will take out all your energy levels and then you won't be bothered. Is that what you're doing, baby girl? Is that what you're doing?
But I don't think I suffer with the sleep thing as much as you.
Yeah, I mean, I much prefer being tired and doing my work than being tired and looking after her. Because working, I mean, for me, doesn't require much dynamism, as it were. You can foresee what's coming up. You can plan how to do it. And you do it.
Best of my work.
But still, work, you know, there are foreseeable, controlled avenues of what is going to happen, actions and responses, as it were.
Yeah.
Whereas looking after a baby isn't like that at all. You just kind of have to try and go with it, and it's hard. It's a lot harder to have the energy and the mental bandwidth to just be like, fuck it, let's go with this, when you're really tired.
Mm.
And then when she's not sleeping, when she's also really tired and you're really tired, you're just like, fuck, you're not sleeping, so you're going to be even more tired, so you're going to ruin another night's sleep. And then there's also the frustration of that as well.
It's just bothering me, isn't it? All
right, check you out.
Not being like, oh,
check you.
Fancy. I just think that stuff gets you to you a lot more than it does get to me.
Yeah.
I'm very much someone who's just like, just keep going, get on with it, move through, get on with it. Which is to the, you know, it's good and bad.
I get on with it. I do it begrudgingly. I see you do it a lot less begrudgingly.
Yeah.
You don't have the same negativity.
No.
And you can do it at a normal pace, whereas I do it negatively a lot slower.
And then positives.
You are so tired.
Oh, the weaning thing has been. I'm really enjoying the weaning. I think it's just quite exciting because obviously everything she's trying for the first time, and being a chef food is my thing.
And it's kind of one of the ways that you show love.
Yeah, absolutely, it is. So I'm enjoying being able to sort of share meal times with her now. It's quite nice. Plus, we don't have to have her on me when I'm eating dinner, which means I get to eat dinner a bit more enjoyably.
Instead of the dinner relay that we used to do.
Yeah. What else has been nice this week? It was nice to have my mum over on Thursday. I enjoyed seeing her because she'd had a bit of a crappy time as well, but it was nice having her over. She had a good time with Zoe and Nancy and Siddle together. So that was really nice. Otherwise, no massive parties this week.
No?
No.
How about your lows and your funnies?
Oh, the low with.
Okay, your funnies, yeah. You said low.
Funnies. I do just really enjoy how she attacks some of the food. Yeah. Just the same thing with her cuddly toy dinosaur as well. She kind of grabs it with both hands and she kind of goes, and almost like motorboats it. She's that excited and sort of shoves it in her face.
But also how everything that she first tastes, she always pulls such a disgusted face at.
It's almost like it's sour. She always, always kind of...
Oh. And then she goes straight back in for more.
Oh, yeah.
And after the first three or four tastes, she's just loving it. She doesn't pull that face anymore.
Like, I think that like your mum was like, oh, she doesn't like it. I was like, oh, no.
Just wait. Just wait. She'll keep going back for more.
Yeah. So that was really fun. Especially like seeing her with like the mango, I think that was really funny. And yeah, I think that's just was funny. Sadly, we can't show the video because I'm not showing Bella's face. She's now getting touchy and tired.
Hi guys, thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate it. And if you're enjoying it, please let us know by leaving a review or sending us some feedback. The email is blabberingpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your stories, any feedback, any news, any thoughts. Also, you can find us on Instagram. The handle is blabberingpod. We're active on there as well, so you could DM us. And yeah, if you've got 5 seconds, please leave a rating. If you've got a bit more, please leave a review. The words are very helpful. And give us a follow. Cheers. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Okay, so if you remember, a few weeks ago, well, meant it last week, but a few weeks ago we were talking about the Gottman cards. So I downloaded the app for the card decks, and they've got a set of card decks for bringing baby home. So these are all cards regarding once you've got a baby.
Okay.
Now, so we have a selection of different, I guess, discussion cards, which have been categorized. We've got love maps, expressing needs, parenting rules, parenting love maps, open-ended questions, and softened startup. What would you like to go with? Parenting roles, sorry, not rules.
Dealer's choice.
Okay. Thanks. Softened startup's probably a good one to start with. Soft startup teaches participants to complain without blame and to ask for what they need, whereas a harsh startup occurs when partners raise issues using criticism or contempt. Maybe that's not as easy to go for the start point. Maybe expressing needs. Expressing needs. Throughout your life, your needs will change. This is one exercise to identify needs you have at any given time, then give one another permission to share needs, because when needs are not expressed, negativity and conflict increase. Or, alternatively, parenting love maps. The purpose of this exercise is for you to learn about your partner's views on various parenting topics. Which one of those three do you want to go for?
Let's do needs.
Okay, so begin. Question one. Okay, so how to use the deck. Review the expressing needs prompts and select one that describes a need that you currently have. During your turn as the speaker, explain the need to your partner, giving as much information as possible. As the listener, try to make an action plan for how you will help meet your partner's needs. Alternate between each prompt.
All right, what's your need?
First one is, I need you to share doing chores with me. think that's probably the other way around.
Necessarily.
Yeah, I need you to remind me to do chores. And I know that that can be a bit confrontational at times because you'll remind me. And the only times when I have time to do them, I don't really want to do them. So I can be a bit like, oh, go away. But, and so it's not fun for you, which I'm sorry about. How about you? I need you to share doing chores with me. What's your...
I think I just need us to come up with something that works that is actually realistic. Because we said, like, I think it was a few weeks ago that you were going to do daily stuff. And I would do big stuff.
Yeah.
And you're doing some of that.
What's the daily stuff that I'm missing?
So the big thing to make the house just feel better is just resetting every day. So you're going around and, like, in the bedroom and stuff, you make the bed and that's brilliant. But it's also things like making sure the clothes are put away, there's not just nappies left on the floor. Things are just put back away and neat and tidy. Not just because you think, oh, I'm going to be using them again, I'm just going to leave them out because it's easier. Just put things back nice and tidy and neat. But actually, there's not masses to do. If you do that every day, the house doesn't actually need massive done. You do it in the kitchen, like, fairly well. And you are getting a lot
better. I do it regularly in the kitchen. The problem is, the last thing we do is I cook dinner.
Yeah.
And then there's all the sleep routine takes over me then resetting again.
Yeah.
And so often all the dinner stuff gets left out or not fully put away.
Yeah.
But I do it regularly in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It just, our schedule doesn't allow me to do it before we go to bed.
I don't mind not being done for bed. I think you're right. I don't know if it works our schedule at the moment. I'm not bothered by that too much. And I think it's just other places around the house that making sure, you know, put cushions back on the sofa. If there's things on the floor, pick them up. Put things back. Like, they're meant to be in the pram, put them back in the pram. Don't just leave things all over the kitchen table. That's dining room table.
Yeah, the dining room table, I do leave as a bit of a...
Yeah, because it's not a dumping ground.
It is.
It's not.
It's a dumping surface.
Especially now we're having dinner with her. I want her to know that's the place we eat dinner.
And we change our arse.
Yeah, I know we change our arse, but, like, that's because
exactly where we eat dinner.
Yeah, exactly where her food goes. But we don't have anyone else to do it, so it makes sense for us to do that. And it's not a perfect system, darling. And so I think that's important. You know, and it's just staying on top of those things. It's literally just as simple as putting things away as you go.
Let's do parenting love maps. The parents love map. The parents love maps is an alternative card deck that has more child-specific questions and allows you to share knowledge about your child. Choose one person to start by selecting a question, reading it aloud, and then trying to answer it. After you give your answer, your partner either says, yes, that's right, or if needed, gently corrects the answer. Alternate back and forth answering the questions. Okay, numero uno. How does your partner feel about giving your child an allowance? Oh, this is interesting. I think you... Blanket allowance, no. And I think your view is that you work for... effectively pocket money. Well, we've come to a somewhat agreement on work for pocket money, but you also believe that your child should just work irrespective of them.
I think work, but just chores. Work. I think chores should be done without reward to a certain degree.
Whereas I'm on the antithesis of that. I think that chores should be done for reward to teach your kids, well, basically to fucking offshore as much shit as you can, outsource it all to your kids and just basically have like a literal job to payment list. And if your kids want money, blast that list and I'll give you your money, is my view of it.
Yeah, I guess my view
And it teaches them to be resourceful because if they can find quicker ways to do it to the quality, they get paid and it takes them less time. They want to be like really lazy, slumbering teenagers about it and it takes four hours, then fine, you still only get the same amount of money. But yeah.
No, I definitely agree with you. And I think it's really good to learn the value of money before you can get a proper job.
Yeah.
So I absolutely agree with paying for tasks being done. I just think there should be levels to it. So there's certain tasks that should just be done blanketly because that's part of being part of a household.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't need a reward for that.
So what counts as one of those then?
Is it cleaning your room?
Oh, yeah.
Cleaning and tidying your room is just something you just do.
I think things that are your own mess, you 100% should do. Things that are just generally to keep the family functional, I think it becomes a bit of a question of, like, at what point do they need to learn that you need to have social responsibility irrespective of private gain, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, it's hard to just force a... teenager to do shit.
I mean, we did it. We never got paid for our chores in our household. It's just blanketly expected and we did it.
Theo, I know, definitely got
paid for jobs.
I think it depends how, like, my mum started us on chores very low level from the get-go.
Yeah, I think that was what was missed out.
And I think if you don't do that, then it becomes a bigger deal because you're not used to it. So you're like, why do I have to do it now?
But there's a lot of things about, like, starting kids helping out early. Yeah. And then it's not seen as chores. It's just seen as, like, helping out.
I don't think the word chores is great. I think it should just be that this is how I participate in my family. It's how I support my family. We're a unit. We work together. It's a teamwork.
Yeah, so I think, like, your sort of the general sort of daily stuff, I don't necessarily think reward for, as it were, but stuff that's more sort of has to be done once a week.
Yeah.
Then yeah, like, you I think know, it, mopping,
cleaning the car.
Yeah.
That's absolutely a task that we compare, like, mowing the garden, those sorts of things, cleaning the windows.
Yeah.
Those sorts of things, yeah. I'm absolutely fine because they're bigger jobs. They're not as frequent, and they do seem more like a job.
Yeah.
Whereas just generally keeping the house,
the dishwasher.
Yeah. Just generally keeping the house in good order. That's just part of being part of a family.
Alrighty.
We're
agreed.
Okay. And I love that little, like, you know, the little Henry thing you can get, the little card that teaches them how to manage money. That's really good.
What I then want to do, and I want to know what your view is.
I think about it, I was kind of fine.
When she's got an older sibling. Sorry, when she's never going to have an older sibling unless we're top someone older than her. When she's got a younger sibling, she manages the younger sibling. And she gets paid a certain amount of what the younger sibling does.
To manage them doing their, like, jobs?
Yeah. Because she's already done the jobs. She knows what quality they should be done to. And she knows, because I think no one's ever taught delegation or how to, like, manage performance as a team.
Okay.
And you get to uni and you have to say stupid shit in group projects. And you've got some cunt who doesn't do anything. And you do everything. And you don't really know how to manage anyone. And so you just sat there kind of going along with it. Yeah, seething, but doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And you don't really know kind of how to influence people to get results.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a very good way of also teaching kids to be a lot more entrepreneurial as well, because you learn how to manage resources to get to reach outcomes.
No, definitely. I think, again, I think you do a certain task. So things like, it might be that once a week they cook dinner. And so Zoe might manage her younger sibling was cooking dinner, so together they cook dinner. So maybe her little sibling peels a carrot, but Zoe does something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That sort of thing.
But I mean, like, let's say Zoe's 10 and her younger sibling's 8.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe can instruct how to hoover the house, or how to, you know, how to mop the floors, or, you know, start doing isolated pieces like window cleaning and these sorts of things. The isolated jobs, things like a full car clean, is probably a lot to work out how to chunk it down to pieces and then delegate it. But I think that you never really learn that as a kid.
No, I think you're right. I think it's a good point. I think my only bit on this is how we do it with the younger sibling. How would they learn this skills?
Adopt. Just have to
and
keep.
Then how would they?
Not my problem. Not my genetic child.
Oh, it's starting to come off.
Oh, fucking hell! This is sexy.
Is it?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's definitely pulling off my head.
You're like some sort of weird golden snake.
Oh, do I look beautiful underneath?
You look fucking rare.
Yeah, because it really hurts for you. I wasn't meant to leave it on this one.
Well, you knew we were going to record the podcast. What was your plan?
Well, it's still not completely dry, so I don't know how you meant to leave it on for less time.
It's probably just to go a massive white light in your face.
And that's going to help drying it.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
It's an interesting question. How did they then learn how to do it? You have to teach the dog how to do it.
But then do we make them delegate to us? Teach us how to do it? I know we know how to do it, but...
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'll have to think about it.
Okay, you go. I'll
have to think about it. Do you have any thoughts on it?
I think it's a good idea. I think we have to think about how I did it and what task to do it with. But I think the premise behind it is really good. To teach us how to manage and delegate is important. But that's also why I think...
Everyone knows the second one's the more useless one. So just lean into it.
But I think what's also helpful is that you can... How it could work the younger sibling, and also how you can further support that with Zoe, is like we were all made to volunteer from a very young age.
Yeah.
So we did voluntary stuff, particularly in like youth clubs. So from the age of like 15, I was running a youth club with another group of like committee of people my age.
Yeah.
And so with that, you learn management, delegation.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. If you actually...
So I think that's really important to encourage outside of the home as well, because it's one thing doing it with your family, doing it with people there. Either you don't know or like just aren't your family, I think it's a great thing to do as well.
I'm going to tell mom.
Yeah, because that was really helpful to me. for sure.
Okay, that's that one.
How does your partner feel about having your child sleep in your bed or the same room with you? Hates it.
Very much over it at the 6-month mark.
I think both of us are not parents who want to have a kid in bed with us.
Fuck no. When I hear about people who are like, oh, like, for example, it came up on Shagged, Married, Annoyed.
Mm.
And I was like, your kid's like 3. Why are they still in the same room? Obviously, I don't think it was a permanent thing. But like, unless Zoe is ill, or unless, you know, there is something seriously going on, I don't care if it's nightmares. We'll go into your room, we'll turn the light on, we'll explore whatever the issue is. We'll turn the light back off. I will stay with you. You'll go to sleep and I will go back to my own bed. I'm not going to do this fucking bullshit of like, oh yeah, come climb into my bed and kick me while I try and sleep.
I agree. You might parents tell me, oh, I'll just wait. You should have sex. I was like, there fucking won't be.
No.
No, like, I think you should absolutely support your child and be there for them, you know, comfort them. But they do need to learn to sleep by themselves. Also, you end up waking each other up. So no, everyone gets worse sleep.
Yeah. We're currently experiencing that. She's 6 months old.
Yeah, and, you know, we struggled, and you don't have that intimate time. Like, when she went down the other night, and we had, like, half an hour, maybe?
Yeah.
We were, like, cuddling, and it was so nice.
Yeah, we were like, spooning, this is what life used to be like.
Oh, so lovely. Then, we're just like,
fuck off.
Am I dreaming it? No.
Is this the first night I've cried out? Now you look like you're wearing a really shit Mexican wrestling mask.
I do, don't I? What would my Mexican wrestling name be, though?
Goldador.
Mother Gold. No. I don't think that's how you feel about sleeping in that bed.
Yeah, you got that right.
So I don't think either of us have an issue with co-sleeping at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Completely. It's very important at the beginning.
But I think, yeah, at the 6-month mark, it's very much like, it's time for us all to have our own space now.
By 1 year, I want her sleeping the vast majority of the time in her own bed. In her own cot.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. People are like, oh, yeah, you can maybe choose to start sleep training at, like, the 9-month mark. And then maybe, you know, you know it goes on and off and you keep trying. I'm like, fuck no.
I'm fully aware it's not going to be a linear progression.
No.
We're going to do well and it's going to go shit and then we're going to do well and it's going to go shit. And that's fine.
But by the time I'm back to work, I don't want to be thinking to myself, when are going to be my tired days? When are going to be my, like, awake days? I want generally to be well rested at work. Fine if there are some days where it's like, yeah, yeah, didn't get good enough sleep. Exactly. But not just every night. Exactly. Let's do one more card. Choose the other sex. Soften startup. Let's go. Begin. Okay. Each of the following examples list a want and a harsh startup statement. Go through each example and read aloud the harsh startup statement. Take turns suggesting soft startup alternatives for each example until the card deck is complete. Or we won't complete.
We'll just do one.
Oh, okay. Topic. Attention. Want. Your partner has not been paying enough attention to you lately. Harsh sentence. You are so emotionally unavailable. Guess what is the...
That's quite harsh.
Yeah. What is the more softer, the better way to achieve this?
Well, they would say, like, don't put on them to say about you. So maybe, like, I've been feeling...
Yeah.
You know,
I think...
like, I need a bit more attention at the moment or something like that.
I'm particularly bad at this, not emotionally, not like, you know, if it matters, I pay attention to you, but I'm so, it's so important to me to just focus.
Yes.
Well, I don't like to give things 70% of my attention and have 10% elsewhere, 10% elsewhere, 10% elsewhere. It's just 100% on one thing. And so sometimes you'll come in and you'll be like, are you all right? And I'm like, yes, I'm just trying to fucking listen to something, whatever. And so I get very easily agitated.
You do.
If I can't, and you think that I'm like upset about something, but it's more than I'm trying to work out whether it's worth addressing the fact that I'm trying to focus, or whether I just sort of leave it and hope that it goes away. Because I'm aware that sometimes I can then just be an asshole about it.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Like just going, I'm trying to fucking focus on this thing. So, yeah.
I think that's true. I think definitely we have to get better. Because both of us quite people like to be focused on things, but I think it's just not as realistic now. You want to be part of the unit.
Yeah, I guess there are times when... How frequently would you say you don't feel like you're being paid enough attention?
I think it's that. I think as a person, and this is going to sound a little bit strong, you always think what you're doing is the most important thing, or what your priorities is the most important priority, and you struggle to
That's fair.
Think about someone, like someone else's priority could be just as important or whatever.
Well, I struggle to accept that priorities are subjective.
Yes.
And so I think everybody should rank things the way I rank things.
Mm. I think that's, So I think that's, that could often be, that's going to often be the issue. So I'm honest with you, because you don't think it's important. You won't do it, or you won't give attention, or you don't want to talk about it, or like whatever, because it's not what you want to be focusing on. It's not, or you don't see the value in it.
And I was actually, somehow this came to my mind midweek. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the fact that I think it's quite important when you're being, when you're managing or being managed, to discuss what your priorities are and to some degree why. Obviously, don't like, because I think there's often always just this expectation that whenever you're given a task, it is the kind of the main thing, as it were.
Yeah.
And also, like, when you're working with someone, you kind of expect that they're just doing it the same amount that you're doing it. When in reality, they might have like 10 other things going on. That's the least important thing. So you're running around being like, I'm fucking changing the world. And they're going, oh, fuck, this guy keeps begging me for this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just running at these two different levels. And then that creates frustration because your expectations are completely off.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's something that we definitely need to do. Because, for example, like podcast stuff, for me, hitting base metrics is absolutely paramount.
Yeah.
For you, it's like, this is a nice to have.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And, you know, if we're going to do it, I don't want it to ruin other areas of my life. Whereas for me, a lot of things, I'm like, if I'm going to do them, I'm going to do them properly. Otherwise, I don't want to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, one case here. But I think our priorities are different as well.
Oh, I think that's true. Yeah. Maybe we need to come up with like a metric for our priorities. So like, if I want
Death to... Defcon 1.
No, if I want to talk about something, but you're like focused on something else, I might go, this is a priority 3.
Yeah.
And you can go, okay, mine currently is priority 5 for me. Can I come back to you? Or actually, you know.
Yeah.
But that will mean you'll have to...
Engage.
Engage and not be quite so absolute. So it can't be... Not everything you do has to... It's going to be able to be like your top level.
Everything's DEFCON 1.
Because also you are a bit of a drama queen.
Don't know what you mean. That was a good one.
Hi, my lovelies. Thank you for listening. Can you please... like, review, and subscribe to our podcast.
Okay, let's move on to Sketch Chat then.
Oh, as part of Skidia Papa Sketch Chat, we've also got, I don't know, Golden Showers Chat. She's been doing some hefty nappies, and finally today, we decided we're going to weigh a big old nappy.
We've talked about it before, but we never did it.
Yeah.
And because now we're only getting one nappy at night.
Yeah, we're trying to get to sort of used to it. Now she's on a bigger nappy, just sleeping through the night with the one nappy as a sort of way to minimize the wake up times, make them less disruptive. But obviously, like when she wanted to sleep through the night, and that means she is going to sometimes have a wet nappy when she's sleeping. So today we took a nappy off and it was like a champion one, we felt, didn't it? It felt like some serious heft to it. And so I was like, go on, guess the weight. So that's how we entertain ourselves now. And so you guessed, what, 200?
Yeah, I tend to over-guess. I'm not very good with weight. So
and
I
so I was like, no, that's more than that. So I said 350, went to and weighed it, and 345.
Yeah, you were pretty much bang
on. But I was very surprised that, because I'm generally not great at guessing the mass of things. It's not a talent of mine. So yeah, that was our champion one of the week, or we say that. I think it, from what, we didn't weigh any other ones, but... it felt the heaviest, for sure. It was at max capacity, I'd say.
It definitely was. It started leaking, in fact, in the morning. Her baby, I hope you haven't put the same blue thing on. No, that had a bit of piss in it.
No, she's got her snazzy magnetic one.
It was one of those whereby, as I was trying to seal it by tightening the sides, I was worried that it was going to start just squeezing piss out, so I couldn't really...
Well, you get like those weird jetty bits coming out.
Okay, sketch chat time.
Have you got any sketch chat stories for a week?
Yes, quite funnily. It's more piss chat. Yesterday, I was trying to...
Look at this.
It's very very distracting while I'm trying to talk to you if you just keep ripping parts of your face off.
This is funny.
It's funny, yeah. As you rip parts of your face off.
I won't rip. Go. Stop playing then, you're fiddly too.
Oh, yes, was it yesterday? Yeah, I think so. We'd done some weaning, And so now she's having loads of washes, and she's now pretty much the perfect size for the sink, kitchen sink, which is great because you just kind of feed her food. She literally throws it all over her body. And then you just quickly run this kitchen sink, put her in, splash down, change the nappy. Yeah. And so I did that. Now my mum was over, so I'd just washed her, put her in the kitchen sink, cleaned her. And then I was carrying her back through naked because I'd left half the chaining stuff back in the living room. And my mum started talking to me. So I put the naked baby down on the changing frame. And then I wasn't really paying much attention. And she just started peeing straight away. I was like, fuck, I literally just washed you. And so she just started. And she's done that before, but peed just before I got peed over the, well, over the kitchen counter. And then I had to spray them down because I've been transporting her to be washed in the sink. So we've had a few pisses en route. Or
you've got to get right in there. Then
so just dunked her straight back in the water after that, and then changed her immediately instead of letting my mother distract me. So these are more potty training. At what point do we start potty training?
We can do whatever you want, really. But not for...
So, boot camp dropout. We did potty training boot camp 2. And at the end of day 1, after 13 accidents, my son looked at me and said, I don't think this is working. Okay.
So did you say, like, you meant to just be like, okay, we're locking ourselves in for a weekend?
Yeah. That's what we've got to do, is sleep as well. I think that's pretty much everything you do with your kids when you're trying to teach them something.
I mean, we've got bank holiday weekend.
Times tables. Lock yourself in.
Next weekend, I think, if we just go ham. So am I doing this bag of shame?
People send us stuff in.
The bag of shame.
Yeah, to the bag of shame.
One of mine, who shall remain nameless, had a really hard time potty training, especially pooping.
Okay. Ugh.
Believe it or not, potty training was really easy and uneventful. He was only about 18 months old, and I got him Ninja Turtle underwear, and he would do anything to avoid messing them up.
It's a good idea.
The only catch is that he would strip down and pop a squat outside if he was busy playing.
Love that.
Brilliant. Love that. I wouldn't mind that. Dog shits in the garden anyway, I guess.
Yeah, no, I piss in the garden where I've got her on the papoose. Have you, can't
have,
see
have
the
you ever, have you ever pooed in the garden?
No. But if I need a wee and I've papoosed her in, I'm not going to go to the toilet. I'm just going to go down in the garden because I can find my dick, but I can't see to point.
How'd you find it?
If I'm in the garden, it doesn't really matter where I point. Yeah, so the problem will be when her legs get longer and she just kicks and I'm like, fuck.
She just
covered her foot in piss.
She just gets petty feet.
Then I'll have to unstrap there and do it all, and I'll be like, okay, now we
this is teachers would be like, legs up.
Get your core strength, otherwise get pissed on. All righty, on that bombshell.
Have a nice day.
Yep, bye-bye.